welcome to Your Turn, the Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us today. We're wrapping up the health insurance open season. It ends, as you know, close of business December 9th. That is Monday. And if you're like a lot of people, you're going to probably wait until the last minute to do it. Well, the last minute is here. And Walton Francis is my guest in the studio today. Walt is the editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Health Plans for Federal Workers. He's been doing this for more than 30 years. We've been doing this about 30 years in one venue or another. Walt, I appreciate you trekking in from Virginia to do this. I asked people in the column today if they had any questions to either call in the show or to send an email. And you can see this stack of emails we have here. And some of them are duplicates, but we're going to maybe go to the questions first and then deal with any calls or anything you want to talk about, if that's all right with you. This is from Ted. It says, I retired from the military 10 years ago, transitioned into civil service first, kept my military insurance TRICARE, and have been satisfied with it. I understand TRICARE is a recognized coverage that enables me to be covered in retirement, the five-year rule to take it into retirement. I understand I need to have an active civilian policy when I retire to be eligible to carry civilian health care. I have coverage and I retire. If I have coverage and retire, can I suspend the civilian plan? My question is this. I want to stay under TRICARE, but I want to be able to have the ability to activate my civil service health plan in retirement. Can I enroll in civilian health care today and not use it, but just pay the premiums while I stay in TRICARE?
I think it wound up being a bit complicated, yeah. Mike, but the basic message is, yes, TRICARE counts as if it were a federal employee health plan, so that, to meet the five-year rule, continuous coverage for the 5 years before you retire, TRICARE counts. You can, at any point that you're in the FEHVP, during open season, you can then suspend your FEHVP enrollment. Very important. You never quit it. You can never rejoin. If you're out for 1 minute, it's gone forever. But you contact OPM and you suspend and let TRICARE be your primary and only insurance for as long as you want. Let's say you suspend and then 3 years later, TRICARE is a very good plan and most people should be in it.
If
they can. But maybe its network is a little iffy in a lot of places, so you need some benefit that TRICARE doesn't cover very well. Then that year you reactivate your federal employee coverage and keep it for as long as you want, and then you can suspend again.
Great. But TRICARE does count as if you were a member of the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, and it satisfies that five-year rule that you have to have health insurance the 5 years prior to retirement. Five consecutive years.
Right.
Okay, got one here from Dan. He says, this is a very common question. I'm trying to figure out why folks seem to think Blue Cross Blue Shield Standard is better than the Blue Cross Basic. And the Standard has a higher satisfaction rating than the Basic. And he has some medical problems he's had. But I told him, I thought I know what you'd say, but what do you say about this?
I think the two plans are almost identical in how we rate them in terms of how much out of pocket cost you're likely to incur. There's some subtle differences in the benefits. Blue Cross Basic doesn't have mail order. Blue Cross Standard does. Blue Cross Standard has a deductible. Blue Cross Basic doesn't. But basically, they're both very comprehensive, very good health insurance. The big difference is that Basic won't pay anything towards out-of-network coverage. So if you go to a doctor who's not in the network, Blue Cross Standard will probably, they'll pay 60% up to their approved amount, which will be much less than he's charging in almost every case. So they'll pay something close to half what you're charged in most cases. Basic won't pay that half. You know, you'll be totally out of pocket. You can use a flexible spending account, though, if you have a particular doctor you want to, and the open season for FSAs ends next Monday as well. So it's kind of a no-brainer, I think, for most people to say, why would I pay all that extra premium to be in Blue Cross Standard? If I use Blue Cross Preferred Providers, Basic saves me a ton of money.
And they don't care about the prescriptions by mail feature.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good enough. Here's one from Sandy at the National Library of Medicine. I'm adding my husband to insurance so that when we retire, we'll both be covered. But I have a question. What if I retire in 2022 and he retires in 2025? How would that work for insurance purposes? Could you ask your experts about this? Feel free to use my name.
Okay. She's mixing up two different requirements, and they're both extremely important. You can, as a worker, and in under retirement, be in a self-only enrollment, and then 5 years later, 10 years later, whatever, add your spouse in and during open season and have a family enrollment. That's no problem. You don't have to be in family coverage the day you retire. Okay, but there is a catch in all this. The catch is at any time, whether employed or retired, if you drop dead while you're in self-only enrollment, your spouse is out of the FEHVP forever. So what? You know, I recommend at least as you approach retirement age, not because retirement is relevant, but because you're getting older and sicker and have a higher chance of dying every year that passes, by all means, be in a self and family enrollment in order to protect your spouse against the, you know, outliving you 20 or 30 years.
So stay alive and don't get divorced, too, I guess is the other other caveat.
Good advice, Mike. Yeah. I bet they'll like that advice.
Okay, let's see here. I'm scheduled to retire at the end of December. I have enrolled in government health plan for 5 years, mail-handers, but I'm considering changing to a different plan this week. As I read your information, it tells me that I'm allowed to change plans within the system as long as I've been enrolled for 5 years or more. Is that correct? Any other conditions? And I think he's adding he's confusing the five-year rule with being able to switch. This is Ellen, by the way.
Okay, let's again disentangle it, okay? The five-year rule is simply a rule that says you must be continuously covered. You don't even have to be enrolled as long as you're covered by a spouse, for example, in the FEHVP for the 5 years before you retire in order to carry the benefit into retirement. That's a rule that applies to everybody and has nothing to do with whether or not you're self-only or self and family or married or not. Okay, separately from that, you have an open season option every fall. And if you're in mail handler standard option, that is not one of the plans we rate highly, and this is you've got a few days left, strongly recommend you take a look at a few other options. For example, we already mentioned Blue Cross Basic, APWU, high option, NALC, high option, GEHA standard option, and any number of HMOs are all great choices.
Very good. And that was Ellen from California, Maryland. Here's one from Katrina. I've got a question about changing the standard option of Blue Cross Blue Shield to the basic. Is it possible to make the change outside of the open season at the time of retirement as a lifetime event if I retired on May 31st or June 28th, 2014? I'm aware that I have 7 or 8 months to sign up for Medicare Part B, already have Part A after the retirement date. Would I have to make the change from the standard Blue Cross Blue Shield to the basic option at the retirement date, if that's possible, or could I wait until I sign up for the Medicare Part B some 7 or 8 months later? Boy, I'm glad you're here.
Okay. Well, first, retirement is not one of those events that triggers
not a life event.
Open season for you. Okay. So you have to make your decision about Blue Cross Basic or Blue Cross Standard for at least the first 6 months of next year, until you turn Medicare eligible. We'll come to that in a second. In any event, make your decision now for next year. Okay. When you turn 65, you have a special one-time lifetime exception that lets you change health plans, and you don't have to use it. You know, you could postpone using it. Okay. You're obviously already 65 because you got Medicare A. So as long as you haven't used that special one-time open season, age 65 will trigger you a special, you know, chance to change plans next summer or anytime thereafter. And you might want to exercise it then. That's up to you. I don't understand, however, why you would want to make that switch then and not now. Okay, maybe because you want to go out of network. That makes sense. So you can postpone that. Stay in Blue Cross Standard for now and switch to basic next summer or fall.
Okay, here's one from John. He's an IRS agent in St. Petersburg, Florida. It says, coworker sent me a copy of your article. I'm 70, my wife's 64. Joined the IRS just 4 years ago, second career, and have been on Medicare with an AARP supplement. My wife's employer paid her premiums. Since I was happy with Medicare and the ARP, and her premiums were paid by her employer, we just let things go status quo. Now I'm thinking about retiring when she's 65. Your article verifies my screw up, and that's the one reminding people about the five-year rule. I suppose our costs will be much greater when my wife retires and signs up for Medicare and ARP as well. I just wanted to make sure the advice would be the same. Purchase the federal coverage in our situation. I can't think of a reason to allow us late entry.
Okay, I got a little lost in the details there, but let me make a couple of points. First, everyone has a choice as to whether or not to keep the FESUP and whether or not to join Medicare Parts A and B. A is basically compulsory and it's free, so the hospital part of Medicare is a no-brainer. If you take Part B, and it's a separate decision for in a couple, each person makes their own decision, you're going to wind up paying two health insurance premiums instead of one, okay? You're not going to get all that much better coverage out of it. So it's not a slam dunk that you sign up for Part B. Again, individual decision. As long as you are employed and covering your spouse through an employer policy, like an FESUP plan, there's no penalty for delaying that sign up for Medicare past age 65. Okay. When you retire, though, the requirement kicks in. You've got sort of 8 months to make your Medicare decision. So the other thing I detect in this question is, I would not be in Medicare with ARP, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's triple coverage. You got your FESUP plan, you got Medicare, and you got a Medigap plan. You don't want to be paying all that premium dollars for essentially zero benefit. So either be an FESUP and use Medicare Part B as a wraparound, effectively. Actually, it's the other way around. It's the FESUP plan that wraps around. Pay the two premiums. That's option A. Option B is to suspend FESUP. Okay, having Medicare Parts A and B, enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, those plans are a much better deal than Medicare plus Medigap, okay? So you have those two options. And, of course, you have the option of sticking with the FESUP and declining Medicare.
Right, and he realizes, too, he's got to be in it for 5 years.
Plus the five-year rule kicks
in. Okay. Take a short break here, talking with Walton Francis. Be right back here on federalnewsradio.com, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Now, your comment about NSA watching you was interesting. What NSA did, it was clever. When they released Tor, they provided a copy of Firefox that had a particular vulnerability in it. And then they could see who was using Tor, and they could get into your computer using that vulnerability that was in that particular Firefox browser.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Time is running out for federal employees and retirees to sign up for Delta Dental, the newest choice on your federal employees' dental program. Enrollment ends December 9th. Delta Dental specializes in dental insurance. That's one reason 98% of their 60 million enrollees stayed with them last year. Sign up for Delta Dental now at benefits.com or by calling 1-877-888-FEDS. Definitely trusted, definitely affordable. Definitely Delta Dental.
True innovation means anticipating challenges before they occur. Lockheed Martin was early to recognize the changing nature of naval warfare. New types of threats in coastal waters called for a new kind of combat ship. We responded with deep thinking for shallow waters, designing the littoral combat ship with speed, agility, and the most networked sensors of any surface combatant. And to make sure commanders stay one step ahead of evolving missions, the LCS is built on a flexible C-frame with interchangeable mission modules. It offers the operational flexibility to execute focused missions such as anti-submarine, mine, and surface warfare, providing access and dominance in the coastal battle space like never before. The LCS is one more example of our ongoing commitment to those who are meeting the security challenges of today and tomorrow. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
Hey, everybody. It's David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
Next Sunday, December 8th, we'll have Tim Ma in studio. Have you heard all about his new restaurant, Water and Wall? And what about American Roots? It's the new online magazine for foodies in the know.
That's Foodie and the Beast next Sunday and every Sunday at 11, right here on 1500 AM.
What are other agencies doing with their information technology budgets this year? Find out at the Association for Information Resources Management Educational Briefing over lunch, Wednesday, December 18th at Clyde's of Gallery Place. Hear from government leaders about how they're investing in IT solutions this year. A firm in collaboration with the Tech America Foundation will unveil the federal forecast for cloud, mobility, cybersecurity, and the outlook on technologies on the horizon. Register today at affirm.org. And don't forget to bring a toy for the Marines Toys for Tots.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Posey here, talking with Walton Francis today. He is the editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook. And, Walt, you've been going all over town doing healthcare fairs with NARF groups and with congressional representatives and whatnot. Do the questions ever change?
Every now and then, there's a zinger creeps in. And, of course, every person as an individual situation, it's really interesting sometimes how complex it can be to figure out the right answer.
Yeah, well, and somebody says, what's the best health plan? And you say, how long have you got, right? You
know? Right.
Here's one from Kevin with Homeland Security. And he says, in reference to the five-year rule of maintaining federal health coverage, does this include the additional dental and vision programs they offer? Good question. Can they be added in as long as you have federal health coverage for the 5 years preceding the retirement, or does one have to maintain those additional plans to include them in the retirement years?
Great questions. Okay, I think first, the answer is you do not have to have kept them during the 5 years.
Right.
You can join every year at open season. You can join or drop, as you choose, any of the supplemental standalone dental plans or vision plans. So don't ever, you know, that's a totally separate choice from your choice of health plans, and that choice in turn is entirely separate from the requirement that you be covered one way or another for the 5 years before you retire. Your open season lets you change, and don't worry about the five-year rule. Just be sure you're covered, though,
yes,
to meet the five-year rule.
Good. Yeah, it is a good question. Here's one from Beulah. It says, I'm retiring January 3rd, 2014. I've carried the FEHBP family coverage for years. My spouse is a retired civil servant who's still covered under my plan. My spouse and I decided we would not leave an annuity for each other since we will both be civil service retirees. I cannot find a definitive answer to this question. Can my spouse remain on my health insurance with no annuity provided? We both understand this and by signing a notarized spousal consent form, but can my spouse remain on my FEHBP plan into retirement without her providing him a survivor annuity?
She actually, unless I miss it, doesn't provide the key answer, though I think I can. If he has his own annuity, there's no problem, but he has to have some kind of civil service annuity, either in his own name or through part. Doesn't have to be all, you know, the full survivor benefit,
right,
but at least a partial survivor benefit, or he will lose coverage.
Right. She says my spouse is a retired civil servant, so presumably he has an annuity.
Presumably he does, and it's no problem.
But it's okay.
You know, let's be clear. If she dies while covering him, she has to cover him with self and family.
Yeah.
He has to be covered, but if she dies mid-year or whatever, you know, at any point, then as long as he has a federal government civilian annuity and he is covered at the time of death through a family option, that's fine.
Okay, good. Here's one from Richard. It says, for Walton Francis, is it easier to switch to another plan that uses the same network of providers or the same third-party drug benefits administrator? For example, some NALC and SAMBA plans use both the Cigna network. Would these plans then have the same list of in-network doctors? I would guess not, but not necessarily.
Oh, no. Not necessarily,
yeah,
but the chances are almost, you know, if the network isn't identical, it'll be almost identical. And it's actually a great question because the example he gives is letter carriers in SAMBA using the Cigna network. APWU and GEHA, for example, both use the United network, and there are other combinations like that. All the Blue Cross plans, of course, including the Care First plan, use a Blue Cross network. Sometimes when the company sponsors an HMO, the network is going to be narrower than the regular network. But in general, if you like your physician and he's in network A but not network B, you still can change health plans as long as you choose a plan with the same network.
Right, and that's one of those fine points you make, is talk to your doctor to find out if he or she is in the network of the plan or plans you're looking at.
Right.
Always
now,
a good idea.
He also mentioned prescription drug coverage, and that's the same issue arises there, but it's a little different because most of these plans cover lots of drugstore chains and so on. So chances are your chain is in the network for either plan, or maybe you can start getting your medicines at another drugstore or grocery store a little farther down the street.
Well,
but yes, you need to check that too.
People in the Washington area are particularly fortunate because there's so many doctors, so many networks, and the number of providers out there is a target-rich environment for something like that. Here's one from Teresa, and we had a little exchange. She emailed me the other day and said, if I have Blue Cross Blue Shield Standard, I'm about to retire. Would it be advisable to keep my standard insurance and opt out of Medicare Part B? Thank you. And I responded, I said, I'll ask him on the show. He likes the basic, but we'll see. And then she said, the reason I'm sticking to the standard plan is because the basic plan does not have the mail order pharmacy, and I save a lot with mail order since I'm taking cholesterol medication.
Well, a couple points here. First, I'm not sure she's going to – mail order is really desirable for many people, and some people swear by it. Others don't want to even think about using mail order. It's sort of more hassle and so on. You know, the generic – statins, for example, and other blood pressure drugs as well as cholesterol drugs often are very inexpensive, usually are very inexpensive either way. So she ought to take a quick look and make sure that she's saving enough on mail order to make it worth the huge premium difference between Blue Cross Standard and Basic.
Because they are, and that's the only drug she's taking, too. She's taking two of the least expensive good drugs on the market now. I forget what they're called, but I know that most of them now are generic or available generic.
Statins.
Statins.
But
yeah.
That said, she's asking also a much more profound question, which is, should I not, you know, take Medicare Part B? There's no short answer to that. There's a lot of pros and cons. And in the case, for example, of sticking with Medicare standard option, you get 100% wraparound. But you also get that in a lot of the other national plans that have a lot lower premiums. And it's kind of a no-brainer to say, why would I pay more premium for the same benefit? Whereas with respect to Part B, Blue Cross Basic and Part B, it's a whole different calculus because Blue Cross Basic is the only national plan that doesn't give you that 100% wraparound if you have Medicare Parts A and B. And it can make a lot, it's sort of like being in an HMO, and it can make a lot of sense to have Part B to supplement and let you go out of network, okay? And it can make sense to have Part B for other reasons, but if you're going to have it for any reason, Blue Cross Standard is not the most likely choice.
Okay. Boy, again, I'm glad you're here. This is kind of a follow-up question from Josephine in Atlanta. And she says, I understand that Blue Cross plans do not coordinate benefits with Medicare, while plans such as GIHA will cover anything not paid by Medicare A or B. My husband's on Medicare and will sign up for Part B when I retire next year. What would be the impact of Blue Cross not coordinating with Medicare? We currently have GIHA and don't want to make claims more complicated, although Blue Cross Basic sounds pretty good.
Okay, let's be really clear here. Blue Cross Standard Option, the most popular plan in this program, does indeed coordinate benefits with Medicare. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, it wraps around and you get 100% coverage for doctor bills and hospital bills. But that's true of every other national plan, including GIHA, the one she's asking about. They all offer that same deal. And again, as I just said, Blue Cross Standard is one of the higher premium plans. And the question is, why not, you know, save a bunch of premium dollars to get that same 100% while still keeping that same 100% coverage? Blue Cross Basic is the single exception to that. And I think that's probably the question they're facing. And, you know, it's true. You don't get the wraparound, Blue Cross Basic. So you can decide whether or not it's worth it to you to which way to go. The wraparound is a useful benefit. You know, it means, you know, the plan will pay that $30 copay you otherwise would pay if you have Medicare Part B, for example. But how many doctor visits are you going to have in a year? You know, you're paying a lot of premium for Medicare. So there's a whole set of issues lurking behind here. But yeah, just keep in mind that the plans are a little bit different in terms of how they interact with Medicare. We haven't even talked about HMOs yet. Virtually none of them give you a wraparound benefit or anything even close to it. But that doesn't mean Blue Cross, Medicare Part B isn't useful because, again, it can cover you when you go out of network.
Okay, good. Yeah, my mother was a retired Fed, and she had, I think, Blue Cross at that time standard with Medicare, and we had very little out-of-pocket costs for her. So that was a good thing. That's the question. Oh, I wanted to ask you the $6,000 question. The magic word is $6,000.
Oh, okay. Before we went on the air, I mentioned to Mike that I saved a woman $6,000 a year a couple of weeks ago. For the rest of her life, which is a pretty substantial saving, much more spectacular than most of us can get by wise open season choices. But in her case, it was fairly straightforward. They're a group of people who are divorced spouses who, as part of the divorce settlement, got a piece of the annuity and lifetime coverage under the FEHPP, but they pay the full premium. Okay?
Yeah.
Not the little bitty part that most of us see, and that's not so little bitty, actually.
Yeah.
But the government pays 2/3 to 3/4 of the cost of all these plans. So she's paying $6,000 a year in premium, but she has Medicare Parts A and B. So she has an incredibly simple solution. She's one of those people who should suspend, you never quit, suspend your FHVP enrollment, sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan. You have to call OPM to arrange that. And by the way, the Medicare open season ends December 7th, so you have only really till this Saturday to do the deal with Medicare. You have to do two deals, one with Medicare, picking your Medicare Advantage plan. You do that at www.medicare.gov, pick your plan, and then make the 800 number phone call. It's easy to do, but you also need to coordinate with OPM to suspend. So she's signed up. In her case, there's an Aetna PPO in D.C., which gives her great coverage, just about as good coverage as any FHVP plan, nice catastrophic protection. And she will save having to pay two premiums, which means and the least you could be paying in a full premium plan is around $6,000.
$6,000 a year for life savings. Not a bad deal. Your book is available in a lot of bookstores and drugstores and whatnot. Also, as you pointed out, a lot of federal agencies have subscribed to your service online so people can shop at work. Correct.
Yeah, and we recommend the online version for everybody, including those who just want to purchase an individual subscription to it, because we can do things online that we can't do in a paper book. For example, we actually show for every plan what you get to tell our online tool is you tell it your doctor's name, and it will answer the question, is my doctor or doctors in plan A, B, C, et cetera. So we have a DocFind tool built into our plan comparison tool. So what I recommend people do, if you're a federal employee, it's a good chance you have free access and don't know it. Go to our website. That's www.guidetohealthplans.org and see if you already don't have free eligibility.
Okay, need to take a short break here. Talking with Walton Francis about open season, which ends Monday. We'll be right back.
How do you evaluate the effectiveness of citizen participation programs? Is the Open Government Initiative making a difference? Join host Michael Keegan as he pulls back the veil on how best to evaluate citizen participation with Dr. Tina Nabachi, author of the IBM Center Report, A Manager's Guide to Evaluating Citizen Participation. Next week on the Business of Government Hour, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. Tune in every Monday at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Want to save money on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other healthcare needs? Then visit Village Green Apothecary during our big year-end sale now through December 31st. You'll save 35% on our popular Pathway brand nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off natural body care products. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or shop online at myvillagegreen.com. And be sure to catch our top-notch radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagen.
There's reason Ackerman Security Systems is the Washington area's most trusted security company. It's because at Ackerman, security is all they do, and they do it better than anyone else. This holiday season, stay connected to home anytime from anywhere. Get text, video clips, control locks, lighting, and thermostats from any mobile device. For just $18.95 a month, Ackerman monitors your home for burglary, fire, and medical alert. Ackerman has one of the few monitoring centers that's both UL and CSAA 5 Diamond certified, so the most highly qualified operators are responding to your emergencies. If you already have a system, switch for free today. On top of feeling more safe with Ackerman, you'll start saving money. Whether you need the latest technology or a basic system at $18.95 a month, why wait? Call Ackerman Security for up to 3 months free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Power Jobs knows Washington's unique job market and was designed for you, the Washington area professional. PowerJobs.com features top-level career opportunities in the influential industries that power Washington.
New on PowerJobs.com this week, positions from Boeing, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, SAIC, Metro, Evolver, and AARP.
Visit PowerJobs.com today to get started. PowerJobs.com. We know Washington.
General Dynamics Information Technology Health IT Services and Solutions, improving health outcomes through the power of IT. General Dynamics IT, GDIT.com/health.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. We're on every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And reminder that our shows are archived on our homepage. So if you missed today's or any of the recent ones with Walton Francis telling you about the federal health plan, crank them out at home and pass them on to a friend, because it can save you an awful lot of money. Walt typically can save virtually anybody $1,000 to $2,000 a year just in premiums and out-of-pocket costs. And got a question from Steve in Germantown. He says, most plans use CVS Caremark for their prescription benefits. Are there plans that don't use this?
Sure. There are some, for example, well, I actually don't know offhand. He stumps me. I don't know which plans don't use CVS. I don't think Kaiser does, for example, because they have their own pharmacy. But most of the large drugstore chains are preferred networks for most of the healthcare plans.
Yeah.
So if you're, and I understand that, you know, if you do your grocery shopping and right next door is the CVS you use, you know,
sure,
and that's the routine you want to be in, that's fine. Just this is a good example of the kind of thing you want to check before you make your final open season decision, including the decision to stay in the same plan, because these networks change. And sometimes a drugstore network even will be added or dropped. So check your current health situation. Think about your family's health situation. Look at the brochure, the plan you were in. Make sure there's no bad news for you there. And if you have a little extra time, either using our website or the OPM website, or just, you know, talking to people, check out a few other plans to see if there isn't some better deal around that might save you a ton of money. As you said, I put it this way, more than half of all federal employees can save between $1,000 and $2,000 a year in premium and out-of-pocket costs by changing plans this open season. More than half. And 95% of them are not going to do it.
I see. And Steve's in Germantown, too, so I would think most of the plans in this area would cover CVS, Rite Aid. You know, they're two of the Walgreens. They're the three large ones.
And Walmart and
sure,
even some of the other, you know.
Giant pharmacies and all.
Giant Wegmans food chain, et cetera.
Trying to do like a five-point presentation here. The catastrophic coverage, we haven't touched on that yet, but I know you stressed this is really the reason people buy health insurance, correct? Because the catastrophic coverage?
It's the reason they should be buying it.
Yeah.
What you really want to protect yourself against is that $1 million a year, or even that $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
You want to know that you're not going to be wiped out financially because of some terrible healthcare crisis. All these plans offer at least reasonable catastrophic coverage, but there's some big differences, and some of them have gaps, okay, and loopholes. We actually try to find all those gaps, and we compare the plan's catastrophic coverage. That's one of the key comparison points, both online and in the print guide as well, so that if you're worried, for example, suppose you know you're going to have a hip replacement next year or some other very expensive thing. That can be the most important factor in choosing between plans A, B, and C.
And this is another thing. You have so many federal married couples in the Washington area in particular, but some other places too, Ogden, Utah, they're all over. And a lot of people say, they look at their premiums and they say, honey, the two singles is cheaper than a family plan, to which you say,
Beware, because it is common, not always, it depends on the plan, but a lot of the national plans, including, for example, Blue Cross Standard, has the same catastrophic protection benefit, whether you're self-only or family. But what that means, let's say you're both in a car accident and you each have very expensive injuries, if you're in two self-onlys, you'll be each out-of-pocket $6,000 instead of between the two of you out-of-pocket $6,000. So it's the difference between $6,000 and $12,000 bucks because you enrolled in two self onlys instead of one family plan. That's much less of a risk if you're in HMOs, for example, but it's certainly something to think about before you say, oh, I found a way to save $100 a year.
Yeah. It, well, in this city, a mixed marriage is a federal worker and a non-federal worker. and in a case like this, and although it's rare, it does happen that sometimes the private sector spouse's health insurance is better and or cheaper than the federal program. So the federal spouse piggybacks on the private sector spouse's insurance. That's not a good idea, is it?
No, for the simple reason that if the federal spouse dies, the private sector spouse is out of the system forever in terms of FEHVP coverage. So, you know, imagine your widow at age 40, she's got that private firm coverage. That's going to end. They're not going to take care of her after age 65, okay? Whereas in the federal employee system, she will have coverage until age 80 or 90, or the way medicine's progressing these days, age 100. So, for heaven's sakes, carry at the very least some inexpensive coverage, and it has to be self and family to protect your spouse. I mean, it's a little tricky here, but maybe even though the private sector plan's a little better, she should drop that plan and you cover both through the federal plan.
Yeah. And the got a number of questions about this earlier from a married couple, both federal workers, and they don't want to leave a survivor annuity to the other one. They, you know, you have to go through the procedures and get a notarized statement, all that. Is that a good move?
It can be, but it really is important. If they're both federal workers and they both have regular, you know, immediate, what are called immediate annuities, that's not a problem. Okay, if one of them dies and is carrying the family coverage for the two of them, the other one can pick up, you know, that's part of their retirement benefit because they were covered by the FEHVP. But if one of them's private sector, then, you know, they're out.
Yeah, so that saving that premium is penny wise and pound foolish, possibly, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about HMOs, health maintenance organizations. I guess most people know what they are or think they know what they are. What's the big difference? Because they started looking, fee for service started looking like more like HMOs, and HMOs started looking more like fee for service, and the premiums seem to have narrowed too.
Yeah, it's interesting. 5-10 years ago, Mike, we would talk about, boy, it's a radical decision which way you go between HMO or fee-for-service. Since all the fee-for-service plans now use preferred provider networks, and all the HMOs have preferred provider networks, there's several possible variations on this theme, the differences have greatly blurred. And a lot of those HMO networks are pretty broad. And even when they're not so broad, they're still probably plenty broad enough for you. You really need to, for example, do you really care if you have to pick one out of 10 gynecologists or one out of 200? I mean, you know, so you're into that kind of trade-off. There are some spectacular buys among the HMOs locally. That's one of the ways people can save a ton of money. That's you sort of give yourself a pay raise, which, you know, this year is another bad year for pay raises for federal workers. And, you know, among the better plans for people to consider, Coventry High Option HMO, Kaiser Standard, Care First Standard, Aetna Open Access Basic. Let me just stop there. That's a handful of choices that are pretty diverse and give you a lot of possible ways to exactly, you know, if you want to use CVS, one or more of those will be using CVS and so on for the drugs. So you can really make your plan choice work for your personal preferences in or out of an HMO.
One of my goals before I retire is to understand what a consumer-driven and a high-deductible health plan are, because you're very high on those, aren't you?
That's because the deductible's so high, I get high on them.
High on life.
These are plans, the high-deductible consumer-driven plans have a high deductible, several $1,000s. They also have some form of savings account. In the high deductible plans, it's called a health savings account, HSA, and it's a spectacular benefit. It's money that you get, your premium pays it. You know, you could augment it, but the basic payment is through the plan. It goes into an account like a 401k or an IRA account. It's in your name. Goes in tax-free. You can grow it over the years tax-free. You can take it out tax-free. And if you're lucky enough to have low healthcare costs for a couple of years and build up your HSA account, basically you may never have to pay anything out of pocket for healthcare again the rest of your life, even in those years when you get really sick. Okay. They all have great catastrophic protection. And once you burn through that deductible, again, a couple thousand bucks, they have excellent health insurance coverage, you know, paying 85, 90, 95%. The opportunity and the problem are flip sides of it. You have to think hard about your routine healthcare expenses while you're in that area where you're probably using your savings account to pay for your healthcare expenses, knowing that if you burn through the savings account, you're going to hit that several thousand dollar year deductible and have to pay the entire cost of that doctor visit, not just the $30 copay, but you're going to pay it all before later the $30 deal kicks in. The other category, consumer-driven plans, are similar, and the differences are minor, except that the health savings account is not technically yours, and once you leave the plan, for example, the plan will retain it, and it won't be in your name, and you'll lose it.
Okay, good. Short break here, talking with Walton Francis about your health plans. We'll be right back.
When you ask most doctors why they became doctors, the answers are usually pretty simple. Something like, I want to help my fellow man, or I just want to make people feel better. It's the rare doctor that gives an answer like, I find insurance forms fascinating. Most doctors wouldn't answer that way. Certainly not Kaiser Permanente doctors. They became doctors to practice medicine, to ease pain, to help people. So we at Kaiser Permanente are quite happy to let them do that very thing, which explains why so many of the finest doctors come to work for Kaiser Permanente, because they get to focus only, solely, exclusively on their patients, which is exactly how their patients like it. We're Kaiser Permanente, and our doctors want to help you to live long and thrive.
Kaiser Permanente makes healthcare easy and simple with a free mobile app. Make appointments, see lab results, email your doctor, order prescription refills, and more, all on the go. Call 1-800-677-1278 or visit kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Here's Frank Konechny, Chief Technology Officer, U.S. Air Force, on the Federal Executive Forum on Defense Cloud Computing, sponsored by McAfee.
In 5 years, we expect to have multiple cloud providers across the board. These cloud providers will probably be providing not only processing, but also large data object storage, because we have that problem right now. The analytics will be very important when we do that, because then on top of the large data object storage, we're going to have to run a lot of analytics.
Sure. To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Federal IT organizations and prime contractors are experiencing a rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements. McAfee is the standard throughout federal military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
Interested in IT business with the Air Force? Attend FCNOVA's Air Force IT Day on December 11th in Tyson's Corner. Senior Air Force leaders, including Space Command's General Shelton and Air Force CIO Lieutenant General Basla, will discuss requirements, priorities, and challenges. This is a must-attend event for companies large and small interested in funded Air Force programs and more. Visit afceanova.org to register a sponsor. Attendance is free for military and government employees.
An FBI initiative to address the growing threat of internet crime is seeing success.
It's a threat that in some ways has fallen into a gap in enforcement.
I'm Molly Halpern of the FBI. To ensure internet crime cases and prosecutions don't fall through the cracks, the FBI teamed up with its law enforcement partners at all levels. A new way of sharing detailed intelligence and potential internet crime cases is now underway. The Internet Crime Complaint Center, or IC3, provides that information to FBI cyber task forces across the country. Supervisory Special Agent Herbert Stapleton.
Additional information that helps those state and local investigators along the way, sort of give them a jump start on doing this type of investigation.
The initiative began in Salt Lake City. The results were so good, the FBI recently expanded it to Texas.
I think just given the resources and the right people devoted to combating this particular threat, we can accomplish a lot of things.
Report internet crime at ic3.gov.
Do you miss the joy of reading because of blindness or disability? Here's great news about Choice Magazine Listening, a free talking magazine. You'll hear outstanding articles and stories chosen from leading publications such as The New Yorker, National Geographic, Smithsonian, Time, Sports Illustrated, and many more. Please call 1-888-7-CHOICE or on the web www.choicemagazinelistening.org.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu is on Twitter. Follow him at jserbuwfed for the latest news about the Defense Department and defense contracting at jserbuwfed.
Hey, Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. Julia Ziegler is in the control room pushing all the buttons and tells us we have about 8 minutes to go here and talking with Walton Francis, and this is our wrap-up show for the open season, which ends Monday, and we know from past experience, A, most people won't do anything. As you said, 95-96% of people stay in the same plan year after year. A lot of them are going to do it over the weekend. It will be not a fun experience. Couple of things. One is, what if you have a family member with an unusual, I don't mean exotic in the cute sense, but an unusual or rare disease? Are there any plans that are better than others?
There certainly are, and there's two good strategies to use in that case. For one thing, you can simply compare brochures side by side. OPM quite cleverly has insisted that all brochures be written in clear English, that they follow a standard format. So there's actually a section in each brochure on maternity coverage, for example, or on occupational or physical therapy, or on surgery. So you can see, you can look at the brochure, you can actually go in and you download them. You can do that from the OPM website. You can go to a plan website, but it's kind of convenient at OPM, or on Checkbook, because we give you a list of all the plans in your area. Click the ones you're interested in. You get a PDF file that pops up on your computer. You can then search on a keyword. For example, you could search on the word hearing to find how the plan deals with hearing aids. And look at two or three or four of them. Don't have to print anything out. Just, hey, read the paragraph on hearing aids or maternity or whatever it is you're concerned about. So that's a great way to, let's say there's three or four plans you're really interested in, but you want to be sure that whichever one you pick does cover you very well for hearing aids. Then go make that side-by-side comparison. Another example, in that same venue, you probably have a specialist. If you're already using, someone for that service, let's say you're going to have a baby next year, you probably have an obstetrician lined up. Ask the obstetrician which plan or plans are best going to cover the prenatal, the delivery, and the postnatal care. Now, there will be a lot of them that are going to pay 100%, so the chances are that you'll find a very good deal. Then separately ask, and which of those plans are you in the network for?
Yeah.
Okay? And that way you can pick a plan that's got the network you need, that's got the coverage you need, and make that change. Don't spend Redskins Day or last week Turkey Day,
Same thing. Lately,
okay. Actually, with the football team playing so poorly this year, maybe Sunday's a real good time to make your health plan choices.
Yeah, that's good. Now, I wanted to ask you something. Congress is leaving the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, correct?
Correct. And, well, partially leaving.
How does that work? How do you do that?
Okay, well, let me just say it's legally complicated because the law as written had some ambiguities in it, and the administration pulled a rabbit out of the hat and found that it could do the following. The congressman and the personal staffs, and each congressman decides who is in that second category, of his staff, they are not allowed anymore after, December 31st to be in an FEHBP plan, okay? They have, in fact, the same December 9th deadline that the rest of us do to make their decision. OPM has concluded that they may join what are called gold plans in the D.C. Small Business Exchange, that's District of Columbia, okay, and only those plans. And if they choose one of those plans, they'll get the regular employer subsidy that they would get if they chose an FEHPP plan. And a lot of the D.C. SHOP plans have national networks, so those congressional staff in Alaska or, Timbuktu, Idaho or somewhere are going to be able to pick a plan. But that means they have to go to the D.C. Exchange. Not a task lightly to be undertaken.
No.
They better not wait till this weekend to start trying. And the information is not clear. And, it's a shame. It's going to be a zoo this weekend for congressmen and congressional staffs.
Yeah, the ideal time to do it was last weekend, wasn't it?
Okay, so you get 5 points. Remember the five-year rule. You have to be enrolled in a health plan for the 5 years immediately preceding retirement, or covered, enrolled or covered, in order to take it into retirement. Talk to your doctor. Say, are you in the network? Which one works best for you? Which plan? The catastrophic cap thing. Don't leave yourself open for bills that could literally bankrupt you. I think that's the leading cause of bankruptcy in the U.S. is medical bills. What else do we? It seemed to me there were five major points.
Check the brochure of the plan you're in to make sure that there's no bad news. There's a section near the front of each brochure, how we changed for this year. But if you've been a couch potato for all these years, there may have been changes made last year or the year before that matter to you. So, you know, if you say, hey, this is the year I'm finally going to get a hearing or see my shrink, okay, or a shrink, that's the kind of year when you really want to look at that brochure and make sure that, by the way, about half the plans give adult hearing aid coverage, but about half don't. My shrink example, they all now cover mental illness as well as they cover physical illness nominally. I mean, it's the same coinsurance rate or copay rate, but your doctor may not be in the network. So this is one of those areas where you talk to the psychiatrist or psychologist to see what plans pay.
Okay, you get the last word. Well, thank you. See you this time next year on open season. Everybody have a good week. We'll see you next Wednesday.
For 55 years, we've had your back, meeting the special needs of government employees like you. We're GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, and right now we have open enrollment for our vision and dental plans. From basic coverage to enhanced options, our dental plans are affordable and comprehensive. Want to keep your dentist? You can. Want to cover your dependents up to age 26? You can. Want to roll over up to $1,000 in unused dental benefits? You can do that too. And with GEBA's Vision Plan, you get an annual pair of glasses or contact lenses and competitive rates across a wide network of ophthalmologists, optometrists, opticians, and retailers. Open enrollment runs now through December 16th. Enroll online at GEBA.com. That's GEBA, G-E-B-A.com. The right options at the right price. Trust GEBA for your vision and dental coverage today.
The Land Warfare Industry Report, provided by Raytheon.
Raytheon has recently announced it completed a major program milestone as the first light armored vehicle anti-tank system successfully achieved its initial live fire tests at Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. The LAV-AT is a new highly mobile anti-armor fire support system designed to protect reconnaissance and light infantry in the U.S. Marine Corps. Its mission is to defeat threats at long range, day or night, and in all weather conditions.
Do you hear that? That's a warfighter on patrol, silent as the night, but never in the dark. Raytheon third-generation forward-looking infrared thermal imaging gives warfighters an overmatch advantage more cost-effectively than retrofitting and maintaining current systems. After all, when the mission is owning the night, forward-looking takes forward-thinking. Raytheon, customer success is our mission.
What makes PowerJobs.com powerful? It's you. PowerJobs.com was created for you, the Washington area professional working in federal contracting, nonprofit and association industries, technology, and government relations. PowerJobs.com features thousands of top-level openings from hundreds of the region's leading employers. There's already been 2 million job searches on PowerJobs.com so far this year. Tap into the power of PowerJobs.com, a career site made for you. PowerJobs.com. Empowering today's top talent.